wonderful to be here this morning, waking up, and first off, it's a beautiful day. If you hadn't have led 751, I was sure Dad was going to. It's one of those days, 751 kind of day. But I thought, as I was sitting on my porch, it's good to get up and get to go up on the hill to Bethel this morning. Greatly love you all, and thankful that the report that the Lord's been blessing here, as I believe the Lord's blessing us at Stratton with increase. I rejoice in that and pray the Lord keeps sending them. I was thinking I might have. I've done. Well, I hadn't done a funeral, you know. I might have done more baptisms this year than funerals, which is. I better not say that. I might not have. But, because for a while there, I was doing a lot of funerals. But I want to go this morning to the 24th chapter of Matthew, which is a chapter that scares me in that it is. You must really work on rightly dividing this chapter. I'll start at the beginning and go on down a ways. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Now, you continue on through this chapter, and people many times either run it all at the end of the world as the end of the world or as AD 70. But I think we need to see here, as I was studying over this last night, that I don't know that the disciples here meant to. I don't know that they knew what they were asking, but they were asking at least two different questions here. And I think three. "Tell us when these things shall be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world." And if you run all the examples through here as one way or the other, you're going to get, as the saying goes, confused as a termite in a yo-yo. If you run it all as the end of the world, it's going to say here in a minute that pray that you not be with child. Well, what difference does that make at the end of the world, you know? We're all going to heaven at the end of the world. That doesn't matter. So that's, I believe that's AD 70. But I want to continue on and get to about the 12th verse. "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are the beginning of sorrow." Now I want to pause there. Notice what he said. "Nations shall rise against you. You shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you be not troubled." Now, how often would it help us if we could follow that? We get so enwrapped and engulfed in the current affairs of this world, political, I see why. I know why Brother Sonny got off Facebook, but I can't do it. I kind of like to make myself mad, I guess. I like to read what other people. But I mean, people who are, I respect in the church, are focusing on the problems on politics. And I'm like, set your sight on things above, brother. Quit worrying about all this. It's the Lord said these things are going to happen. And they're just signs. Then he says, these are the beginning of sorrows. And then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Yeah. Are y'all starting to wonder, is this going to be depressing all the way through? I hope not. That's not my plan this morning. But he's saying people are going to betray one another and shall hate one another. Then he says, and many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. Verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. I've recently really gotten to where I talk almost every day to Brother Danny Wisner through Marco Polo or whatever. He'll send me a message. And that's a hoot to talk to Brother Danny. But he told me yesterday, he said, I want you to commit this verse right here to memory. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And so I was like, I'm going to go to it. And I read it. And then it says, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And I thought, well, 12 is good. Oh, but 13. That's, boy, don't you know the Calvinists have a, I'm sure they go to this one. You've got to endure to the end to be saved, is what they preach, to be saved to heaven. But as you've often heard preached in old Baptist churches, when you hear that word, to be saved or to save, you've got to look to be saved from what? And we take this here in this context. What is he wanting them to be saved from? Well, in verse 5, he started out, be not deceived. Take heed that no man deceive you. What a frightening thing that is. You know, whenever you preach, whenever you tell someone of the doctrine of election, what is the first thing they say? And it's even in Scripture. In the 9th chapter of Romans, whenever the Apostle Paul says, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. What did he say? Is there yet unrighteousness with God? God forbid. And that's the same thing people will say today. That's not fair. Well, I tell you what's fair. If you want to talk, first off, it doesn't have to be fair. But you tell me what's more fair, that God says, I love this one. Or that my fate depends on whether the preacher, the man that came and preached to me, is faithful or deceitful. That's not fair if you ask me. Man, I don't want to put my hope in me. I was listening to you yesterday, a sermon of Elder John Henry Thrower. Oh, I tell you, it was a good one. It was Job had a case. I know you've heard it. He started talking about in the 9th chapter where the Lord gave that man his sight who was born blind. And the Lord took some dirt, dust, and some spit and put it on his eyes. And he says, the Lord's spit is more powerful than all the preachers in the world. I thought, that's good right there. Now, I can see if I'd have said that and grandmother were here, she'd flinch. But spittle is a biblical word. But I tell you, the Lord does the saving. Oh, but what here is he saying? He's saying, if you endure to the end, if you continue to endure, you will be saved from being deceived and your love shall not wax cold. I tell you, love. Love has been on my mind. This right here. Because iniquity shall abound. What a tragedy that is. And I believe we've seen it. We see it in the world for sure. But we've even seen it in the history of the church. Where people rise up against each other. Where factions rise up against each other. And I've heard stories, and it's just, we hated each other at times. And it's still there. It still can get in there just like that. I tell you, you know that I believe standing for the truth and standing for the biblical principles and standing for right, or what is right. Oh, but I tell you, our love should continue to grow. Oh, he says, take heed that no man deceive you. And I was talking about if we believe like many that we must endure to the end, it depends on the man that could be a faithful prophet or not. You can go to 2 Timothy 2:19, one of my favorites. And Brother Mike preached it here last time I was here. 2 Timothy 2:19, you got two preachers named Philetus and Hymenaeus or something like that. But they said the resurrection is past already. And it says, overthrowing the faith of some. Oh, what a tragedy that is. You know, we dwell on the fact that preachers can't. My job, and I can rest because it's not my job to get people into heaven. But I tell you, that's a load. It is a serious business that I can overthrow the faith of some. I don't believe the Lord looks favorably on that. But I love what it says after that. Overthrew the faith of some. Nevertheless, oh, we know, we have seen people's faith overthrown. That prosperity gospel, goodness. We turn the TV on Sunday morning. I want to watch maybe that big preacher in Houston who can feel the Summit or whatever used to be the basketball arena. He might be helping some. But I got to thinking this morning, I just want to know what his retention rate is. Yeah, it's full, but I would imagine it's just a constant flow through. Because you tell people that, hey, if you just follow the Lord and do this, everything, you're going to get a Lexus. Almost. I mean, it's almost that bad. I tell you, that's not the gospel. Jesus says, in this world you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. As a matter of fact, and I've seen this in my few years of pastoring. You get someone... I mean, I'm dealing with it now. Someone who you watch them change. You watch them from a bad person, and you see them come and say, "The Lord, I feel the Lord. I need to be in the Lord's church." Oh, what rejoicing that is! And I had the privilege of baptizing. But you know what happened when Jesus was baptized, I believe, in, let's go to the, well, I was going to say 3 John, but I don't. But you know the very next chapter after the Lord was baptized, after John the Baptist, he came to John to be baptized of him, and John forbade him, saying, "I have not need to be baptized of thee." Jesus said, "Suffer to be so, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." And then he baptized, and when he was baptized, he came straightway out of the water. And behold, a voice from heaven saying, "But this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And the Spirit lit upon him like a dove. Wow. Man, oh, to see that sight. Oh, to see. Just think of, look at that in John the Baptist's eyes. That's all. And then in the next chapter, what did it say? And Jesus did it. It was all roses from them? No. Then Jesus was led up of this by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights. I tell you, it comes. The prosperity gospel, it's exactly the opposite. The devil, as he told Job, as the Lord told Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? That there is none like him." The Lord said the second time, "You can touch his flesh, but you can't touch his life." Tells us in Revelation, devil was cast out from the presence of God, who the great accuser of the brethren, who accused them before God day and night. He can't accuse us anymore before God. Because God said, "In the my son's blood, these are made righteous." Oh, but I tell you, I love that. I don't love it, but it says he is full of wrath, for he knoweth he hath but a short time. He knows his end, and it's not good. And he's mad about it, and he's wandering up and down, says, going to and fro. And he's like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He wants God's children to be deceived. He wants them to be deceived, and he wants their love to wax cold. Because he knows the end of this world, he's got no say. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. I tell you, the love of God. I'm going from a very hard chapter, as I said, to a subject that it's just impossible to preach almost. The love of God. What can I say? Well, perhaps I'll try and go to Ephesians 3. I get to there and I got to start at verse 14. Because I see this and I felt, I've put myself in Paul's shoes, where the care and the love for the people I serve. Apostle Paul says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." I tell you, when you serve people, that's what I desire to see. I was talking about the blessings of baptizing new people. Well, yeah, that's growth, but you want to see spiritual growth. You want to see the children of God being strengthened with might in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love. Love. The love of God. Well, no, I'll keep on. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God, which passeth knowledge. It goes further. It goes further. I mean, I'm not advocating being ignorant. The Lord's blessed us with His Word. May we dig into it and know all we can about it. But you know, in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, yet have not charity, which is love, I become as sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. I've got two band kids. One's a percussionist, and the other's a bassoonist, which is not exactly sounding brass, but it, whenever they're learning, it's painful. And thankfully, the cymbals stay at the school. But sounding, I think of that. It's just, yesterday when we got to we went to football game last night, and I don't know what the other team's band, Pflugerville's band was doing. You, Michelle, I'm sure she'll tell me exactly what they were doing. Before the game, they were just, seems like they were all playing just something different. And I thought maybe they're just warming up their instruments. But it was nothing. They weren't playing a song. They were just playing their each and everyone their own thing. I was like, that's horrible sounding. I thought this was a state award-winning band, but I think they were just warming up. But it was not a good sound. And I tell you, whenever, and I've seen it, and I hate it. I think I can say I hate it. I don't like it. Whenever a man of God, he can be quoting the Scripture. He can be talking about the truth. But when he has not charity, it doesn't sound good. I remember back before I was, this time I was, there was no mention of me being a preacher. I guess I assumed I was going to be a deacon someday. And well, there was a young preacher on Facebook, of course, I know. And he said something, if you believe that, you're an idiot or something like that. And I was like, here's an opportunity for me to train like my granddaddy and eat a little preacher. I'll just start it with a little preacher and eat a little preacher. But I said, and I quoted that verse, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I'm become a sounding brass and tinkle. That doesn't do any good. To say you're wrong. I tell you, may we sound the trumpet of truth. Oh, and I tell you, whenever the gospel's preached with love, with the Holy Spirit, that last song, breathe, oh breathe, the Holy Spirit into us. I tell you, when the gospel's preached in power and demonstration of the Spirit with much assurance, I tell you, it'll speak to you. It'll tell you everything's going to be all right. Oh, I like, remember an account, brother Ricky Harcrow, you know, preached funerals. That brother can preach, and he'll preach a funeral, and oh, everyone will come up. And I've experienced this too. I'm not saying I can preach funerals as good as him, but the Lord's blessed me sometimes. And people say, where do you preach? I want to come hear you. I want to come hear you. And you know, that doesn't, as a young preacher, I get excited, and then everyone's like, yeah, you're going to hear that a lot. And they're never going to show up. Oh, but they're so excited when they hear it. And I think brother Ricky says, oh, but then they get home and you get the 18-inch gap or whatever it is where they felt it here. They felt the truth being preached, but then they got to thinking about the ways they've been taught or things that they think should be right. And it just doesn't jive, and they don't ever pursue after it again. But I tell you, at the moment, at that time, whenever the gospel is preached, it comforts the child of God. Oh, I love that. The love of God. That song, I think Riley led. And heaven comes down our souls to greet. And glory fills the mercy seat. I tell you, what an experience that is. We've been in those services. When you come in, maybe it's the singing, maybe it's a sweet prayer, maybe it's a sermon. Whenever you can just feel the Spirit of God, you can feel it's as if He's holding you in His arms, saying, I love you. Oh, behold, what manner of love is this that we should be called the children of God? What manner of love is this? I tell you, I can't explain it. But I spend my days trying to tell you how much God loves you. Just to know that, to know the love of Christ, which surpasseth. No, it doesn't say surpass. I don't need to try to pronounce a word that's not there. Which passeth knowledge. Yeah. Know all you can. But when the gospel's preached, it should make us think. But I tell you, go straight to the soul. That soul that has been cleansed. What did the Lord say in Ezekiel chapter 8, when he says, as for thy nativity, none I pitied thee in the day of thy nativity. When thou wast born, none I pitied thee. No one swaddled thee, nor salted thee. You were cast out into an open field to the loathing of thy soul. That's a grim picture. But when I pass by, when I pass by thee and see that saw thee polluted in thine own blood, yea, I said unto thee, live. I tell you, when the voice of God, John 5:25, the hour is coming now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. When He speaks, live, life happens. That's not complicated to believe. God says it, it's going to happen. But back to that Ezekiel. I said unto thee, live. And he says, in thy time, later on, was the time of love. Love. And brother Sonny, in his prayer, every time before you get up here, you're like, is this what I want to talk about? And it might be a prayer when he says, the banner of love is over us. That helps me out a little bit. Maybe so. Thy time was a time of love. I tell you, He put it in us. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, faith. There's nine of them. Love is one of them. And I tell you, we have natural relationships. And a mother is going to love her son. Well, usually. I believe 27th Psalm, it says, when my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me. It's not always. We want to think it always is. But I tell you, no one can love like a child of God can love. Because love, this charity is God-given. God is love. Yeah, that's in the Bible. That's scripture. God is love. And here he says, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. 1 Peter. I believe chapter 4. If you remember, if you watch my wedding video, maybe most of you were there. But if you watch that video, they interviewed Granddaddy. And he said, I believe they had just been married 50 years. Yeah, not 71, like they ended up. And they said, Mr. Owen, what advice do you have for the newlyweds? And he says, love covers a multitude of sins. You know what? He thought, oh, Granddaddy, you're so gloomy. We're about to go to Lake Tahoe. Everything's right. I'm not saying, yeah, everything's still good. But we know that he was right. And it just, I'm glad I have that on video. Oh, where do I start here? Verse 1. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live to the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in the lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. You know, people don't like it when you don't do the things you once did. They say, what happened to you? You're all hoity-toity now. Couldn't think of a scriptural word for it. You're all. And they will. Self-righteous, thank you. Speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to the men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. The end. What was he talking about in the 24th chapter? The end. And what was he worried about before the end? That until the end comes, that we be deceived. That the love of many wax cold. The end of all things at hand, be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. I tell you, we are sinful beings, and we mess up. We mess up in the church. We mess up as pastors. But one thing I feel, it doesn't bother me, but it's quite a deal to follow someone like Brother Bill Walden. As I'm growing, I'm just first. Look at that first. Well, I'm pastor in the first few years of my ministry, following someone who was a pastor for 50 years. You think I've made some mistakes? But I tell you, God's children, God's people, have love. Oh, the love in a church, charity in a church, covers a multitude of sin. And what the apostle, oh no, what the Lord Jesus Christ was saying in the 24th chapter. Be vigilant that you're not deceived. And that your love will not wax cold. Last night, Brother Paul Daniels left Mom a voicemail about Sister Crystal. We've got a history. Not a good one. But I said, I'm going to show him love. Show him love. We don't need to tally up who was wrong, who was right in the past. Show them the love of God. Brother Danny, he said, when your children fight, he says, do you care how they justify themselves? Or do you just want it to end? Say, just get over it. Whoever's wrong, get over it. He says, how do you think the Lord looks at his children who bicker and fight? And I thought, good point. I want you to know I'm not advocating straying from the truth or anything. But I tell you, may our love not wax cold. I don't believe it is. I've seen wonderful, beautiful love in the Lord's church at this place. But I tell you, I'm not worthy on my actions of the Lord's love. And it's not my job to deem if you're worthy of my love. God said, love your enemies. Pray for them. I'll be honest. I don't do that much. I can get, if you're my enemy, if you're against me, that's something I need to work on. But may we grow in his love, in his grace. Oh, I love that. I love thinking about the Lord's church growing together and continuing on. Let us go on unto perfection. We're not there yet. We're never going to get there. But I tell you, may we keep on. Keep on fighting the good fight. Being enwrapped in the love of God in his service. Loving God and loving one another. Dearly beloved, I thank my God, Apostle Paul says, upon every remembrance of you. Come ahead, please.
I can't think of a time when that subject would not be appropriate. Be appropriate at funerals. Be appropriate at marriages. Be appropriate to a church that's aging. Be appropriate to a church that's young. Be appropriate to those who have been members 50 years and been appropriate to those who are not yet members. It's appropriate. Love one another. How simple of a concept that is, and how hard it is to do that as we ought to, because our nature is such that we only love those that fulfill some requirement or whatever. Some of us come across stern, hard, emotional, not spiritual emotion, just emotional. But to speak the truth in love